If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
All right, let's check in with Vaughn Palmer from the Vancouver Sun this morning. Hi, Vaughn.
And good morning, Simi.
All right, let's talk about what happened in the legislature yesterday, because it sounds like it was quite spirited.
Yes, so the legislature's back. 4 weeks left in the spring session. The New Democrats shortened the session down to 10 weeks from the usual 12. It's an election year. The less time spent in the legislature, the better the government feels about it. So, and I think we saw that yesterday because, I mean, the big event yesterday for the government was introducing the legislation to recognize Aboriginal title for the Haida over Haida Gwaii. I mean, they've announced it 3 or 4 times already. So there wasn't a huge amount of news coverage around it, but it was a major day for the government and ceremonies and all that. Question period, however, which is the one part of the legislature that the government does not control, was given over to some fairly tough questioning again about the troubled decriminalization project. The New Democrats are sticking with decriminalization. They said it again yesterday, but they are really under fire from a lot of directions over this because decriminalization is in trouble. Just ask pretty much any community in BC.
No kidding. Okay, so what in particular were they being hammered on?
Well, I mean, first of all, the open drug use problem. Drug use in the hospitals. I mean, you go back to when we got this experiment launched, and it started in 2022, and then it began. The actual decriminalization took effect in early January last year. You go all through all that stuff. The one thing you do not find is really any significant discussion. I can't find it anyway, of that open drug, that decriminalization was going to lead to open drug use in public spaces and in the hospitals. And in fact, the government gave some assurances, including to the federal government, which approved this experiment, gave some assurances that, oh, no, no, the police will still be able to deal with that. We have other laws and laws against loitering and trespass and, you know, other disruptive behavior. Don't worry, you're not going to have a problem with that. Well, of course, Simi, that's one of the main reasons that a lot of supporters, a lot of people who supported decriminalization going in, are going, now, wait a minute. This is not what you people promised. You hear the government defending decriminalization in the House yesterday. One of the things that surprises me is they don't have any new arguments. Minister of Mental Health and Addictions, Jennifer Whiteside, does this thing where she says, you know, everybody supported this thing. Oh, the opposition supported this. You know, how dare you criticize it now? Well, of course, the reason the federal government, the police, and the opposition are all going, wait a minute, mayors and councils too. The reason they're doing that, Simi, is because this isn't what they were promised. The government has not delivered on the commitments it made when it went into decriminalization. It hasn't delivered the level of treatment services it promised. It hasn't ensured that the drug users go into treatment. And it hasn't dealt with the thing they said they were going to deal with, which is making sure that the police have the power to crack down on open drug use.
I wish advocates understood that, Vaughn. I wish advocates understood that there were a lot of people who were on the fence about this, but were convinced by the idea that this would save lives and it would be better. And if you can't show them that, well, they're obviously having second thoughts, and it's not... People shouldn't feel bad about that because that's just natural.
Well, you know, another, Simi, you just mentioned one of the things that advocates say. You know, what we hear now is it hasn't saved lives. the death toll continues to rise from overdoses and so forth. Poison drugs. One of the things that advocates say is, well, you know, we never said this was going to be a way to deal with that. Yes, you did, in fact. The government said when they launched this, and the federal government said as well, this is bold action we are taking to save lives. Well, it's one of the things it hasn't done. You can blame it, as people do, on a poison drug supply. That's true. You can blame the open drug use problem on the fact that the courts have so far blocked the government from implementing a law that it said wasn't needed, but which it did bring in against open drug use. The premier mentioned the latter in the House yesterday, Simi. The government's very confident it's going to win that court case eventually. I don't know if they will or not. They lost the first two rounds on that, and they were sure their law was, you know, could resist court challenge anyway. So, yeah, I think one of the things that would be nice is if the government announced, recognized, acknowledged, this has not worked out the way the New Democrats said it worked out. And it would be nice if the advocates would acknowledge that as well, instead of saying, oh, well, with more money, and if we just stick with it, it'll be fine. Well, Simi, you know, we hear it in our business every day. The public's patience has already run out on this thing. And that's a huge problem. Whether the advocates or the New Democrats want to acknowledge it, that's what they're up against. And Simi, privately, some New Democrats are. In the government are going, why are we sticking with this thing, right? They won't say it publicly, and I don't blame them. But they're getting the message from their own constituents, and they're shaking their heads, which is, why are we sticking with this thing? Are we determined to ride it over the cliff before the election?
So today is what, the supposedly definitive press conference on this?
I know, I heard you laughing about this morning, and what can you say but laugh? Yes, Mike Farnworth, today, 12:30, he's doing this in Vancouver, maybe to allow a bunch of torch-bearing people from Surrey to attend without having to take the ferry. But in any event, the announcement is today, and this is going to be the transition plan. I won't go over the long history of this. I will note that he said we were going to get this last week. So here we are getting it Tuesday. And huge interest, of course, in what he is going to actually announce that will resolve the major outstanding questions about this. And the first one is, when will the transition be over? In fact, when will it start? And when will it be over? And how will it play out around this fall's election? So the last time anybody in the provincial government talked about transition, they said, oh, it's going to take 3 years. Well, 3 years is not going to be a welcome news to people in Surrey on either side of this thing. But that's one of the issues he's going to have to resolve today. There are others, Simi.
Yeah, so many. So let's run through a couple of them. What are a couple of the big things to watch for?
Well, they've come up with a little slogan about this, which is red working under blue. So the great concern is, how will the two police forces eventually give way to one police force? So RCMP red, Surrey Policing Service blue, and the idea of that was suggested for a while was, well, you know, eventually the Surrey Policing Service will take over and the RCMP will work under them. That is not going to happen. And Farnworth has ruled that out. So we're going to have to get an explanation for how the two police services will work side by side. The individual officers, I'm sure, are tired of this as well. And one has to admire them for putting up with it. But the problem is there's been so much bitterness around this transition that managing the transition is not going to be easy. Everybody recognizes that. There are, of course, other questions as well. And one of the ones that comes out is, who's going to pay and how much is it going to cost? Simi, you talked about it this morning. This is a job for an independent auditor general to ever sort this out. We've not been given sufficient, full financial details that are independently vetted to answer the question, how much is this going to cost and who's going to pay? And in particular, how much are the people of Surrey going to have to pay? They're already paying for two police forces. It's not at all clear how much it's going to cost at the end. And as you know, there's huge political controversy around it.
The political controversy doesn't seem to end with this. They can't even seem to agree on whether or not they were offered money or they accepted money or where the money is. Like this stuff seems ridiculous to me.
No, I mean, the mayor of Surrey says that their estimate internal is $500 million for all the transition associated costs. The province gave up on the negotiations when they had $250 million on the table. So that's double, roughly. And the province gave up. They said, this is our final offer, even though it wasn't the first time. Second time it was, they say, their final offer. And they've now said, we just can go ahead because we've got the power to do that. But, you know, because it's a provincial election year, one of the great sources of anxiety for New Democrats, particularly New Democrats in Surrey, is what Brenda Locke said, once again, about 10 days ago. She said, look, we haven't been able to reach agreement on financing transition. We think it's going to cost a lot more than the provincial government says. And if the provincial government insists on going ahead with the transition, she, Brenda Locke, is going to put out a financial statement to Surrey taxpayers this fall telling them what city council expects this will do to property taxes next year. And she said, it's not going to be a small number. And she said 12%. Now, it is no coincidence that she is saying she's going to do that this fall. And if she does it, if she doesn't do it before October the 19th, which is election day, I will be astonished. The government's playing politics with this. So is Brenda Locke. That's what must be one of the distressing things to people in Surrey.
On a long list of things that are distressing to people in Surrey is that it just seems like the people we've elected at these different levels here don't even know how to get the basic things nailed down. So today, Vaughn, this is the plan that we'd heard about. I even hate to ask this. Could this possibly be the final word?
Not a chance. not even remotely possible. But we talked in the first bit about how some New Democrats are politically minded ones. It's election year. There's a lot of them are going, how can we get out of this decriminalization thing before it becomes an issue in the fall? Well, there are some New Democrats too that are going, how did we ever get involved in this thing? Why did we ever take ownership of this issue? Why didn't we just let the duly elected mayor and council of Surrey go back to the RCMP if they wanted to do it? They would have taken all the political heat and consequences and costs and everything else of doing that. Instead, the provincial government has taken ownership of this. It's very unusual for a province and a city, especially the second biggest one in BC, to be locked in this kind of argument month after month with no clear precedent, no clear jurisdictional issues, and a complete standoff because, Simi, we don't have any independently vetted financial numbers really nailing down beyond doubt what all of this is going to cost. And you got two police forces where I think the individual members of those police forces are determined to just make it work and protect Surrey, but we still don't know how they're going to end up being just one police force out there.
Yeah.
And that being, well, the province insists that is going to be the Surrey Policing Service, and we don't know when that's going to happen either.
No, we don't. All right. More to look forward to talking about tomorrow. Vaughn, thank you.
Bye-bye, Simi.
That is Vaughn Palmer from the Vancouver Sun.